Welcome to the Love Victory Show with Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. Dr. Wish is an award-winning psychologist and licensed clinical social worker dedicated to empowering your emotional bravery in love, life, work, and happiness. Here's Dr. Wish.
Hello, and welcome to Love Victory Radio, the show that asks, do you have the emotional bravery to be happy? I'm Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. It's an honor to have you here to listen to trusted advice and tested solutions you can use. First, let's take a look at what's happening here in the United States and the world. I hope that we all feel the same way, that our hearts go out to the people in Michigan who were injured in that terrible pileup, all that horrible snow and lack of visibility. And of course, our hearts go out to all the tragic issues that happened in Paris and the rest of France. Let's just take a second to realize how fortunate we are to have the kind of good things we do have in our life. Well, let's go on to what we're going to be talking about today on our show. You know, the new year is over, but it's hardly started. And I think this is a great time to talk about New Year's resolutions and why you broke them and how you can keep them and start all over again. I'm a firm believer in trial and learn. That's how all of us learn. That's the opportunity to kind of reflect and think about what did I do wrong and how can I fix it. But New Year's resolutions are broken at least 75% of the time by 75% of the population. Usually by this time, you've broken your resolution. And if you haven't broken it now, then there's a chance you might break it in February. Why do some people do so well at keeping their resolutions? So we're going to be talking about that today. And I want to talk to you also about who our great guests are. These are wonderful people. I've known them for a while. I am one of their experts on their wonderful website, creatingchampionsforlife.com. This is part of their global academy. And their names are Tom and Bonnie Liotta. They are parenting experts, and they have a whole crew of 31 experts and more in every aspect of raising children, marriage, family, divorce, grief, all kinds of ways that you need to look at your own happiness, your success, your own emotional bravery, and your intuition. So they will be on our third segment. So let's go on and talk about key tips that will help you keep your resolutions. So here are the questions. I'm going to read you some questions that came to me, the most common themes that people wrote to me in their emails. So number one, why isn't determination and why isn't a positive attitude enough to keep the resolutions? I bet some of you want to know the answer to that one, because you're probably saying to yourself, gosh, I was so determined. My heart was in it. I really felt this was going to work out this time, that I was going to keep these. So why isn't determination enough? Why isn't a positive attitude enough? Well, here's why. Probably you didn't make a good enough plan. So let's break down what that plan involves. This is not easy, making resolutions, because you are asking yourself to give up the behaviors that give you pleasure. Let's look at the number one resolution that people make. You probably guessed it. I want to lose weight. I want to get in shape. Number one resolution. And it comes around every year. This year I'm going to do it. Does that sound like you? It sounds like an awful lot of my clients and my friends and family and people who write in to me and say, how can I keep this resolution? So let's break it down into what's a good plan. First of all, the biggest secret that I'm going to give you, and if you hear this alone and it's the only tip you take away from today, then you're golden already. You're on the path. The number one secret tip is don't go it alone. Get a buddy. Think about this for a second. Imagine that you are looking at your garage or your attic or your basement, or how about all those junk drawers that somehow grew all overnight in your kitchen. Almost every cabinet or every drawer feels like a junk drawer, right? Can you relate to any of that? Or how about your closet that's filled with clothes that make you say, what was I thinking when I bought that? And how can I get it together to get rid of all this stuff? Now imagine how you feel. Doesn't a sense of dread set in? Don't you feel overwhelmed? Maybe you got up and started to work on one of those little projects to find yourself sitting down on the couch and channel surfing, or even worse, going to the potato chips that are in your refrigerator or cabinet. So that's why I want you to get a buddy. Think about this scenario. Imagine your friend calls you up and says, I've got to clean out the garage. Or could you help me go through my closet and throw out stuff and make a pile to give to Goodwill or the Salvation Army or whatever your charity is? And you say to yourself, oh yeah, sure, that's not too bad. We'll have fun. Now this is the same exact task that you had to do at home, but you couldn't do it, or you had a lot of trouble doing it, or you did it sort of halfway and got through maybe half of your closet or two of the kitchen drawers. But when you do it with a friend, it's not so horrible. And why is that? That's because your emotional investment of dread and anxiety are not there. It's not your issue anymore. It's someone else's problem. Secondly, remember I talked at the beginning of this segment of getting some kind of pleasure reward? Well, the pleasure is being with your friend. Maybe you try on clothes and say, how does this look? No, that's a tosser. That's got to go right into the donation pile. Or keep that one. Or that's a maybe. Or, gee, you've got 7 serving spoons. Do you need all of them? Some of them are kind of chipped and damaged. So it's a lot more fun. And you get to spend good times with your friends. And that is rewarding enough. Your brain likes to make connections. One of the kisses of death to divorce or widowhood or being new in town is isolation. We know that isolation impedes your health. It impedes your immune system. So being with someone in of itself is pleasurable. So when you have a hard task to do, get a buddy. Very, very important. Going to the gym is a lot easier with a buddy. And here's something you probably figured out on your own. If you've got to work out, and you've got a partner, a spouse, someone who lives in your neighborhood or lives in the house with you, it's much more effective if you do it with them because you can bring each other down. So get a buddy. That is the first step of your plan. So what's the second one? Uh-oh, this is so hard. I strongly recommend that you don't make New Year's resolutions only at New Year's. Why not? Because it doesn't carry that emotional power. And what does? Maybe you've guessed it. Your birthday. That's when you say to yourself and feel, oh my God, I've really gotten older. What do I want to do now? This is really pretty scary. I've got to do something for myself. This is difficult. So here's my idea. Make resolutions on your birthday. Do it. Each season, review your resolutions. Do them in increments. Very, very important. Don't just make them at New Year's. So you've got 4 seasons, your birthday, and New Year's. And you can check yourself monthly. How am I doing? Use those interim spots to give yourself a check. And if you didn't have very much luck, don't worry. You can always start the clock again. It's not a problem. Don't stop. Life consists of trial and learn, not trial and error. Just start over. Remember, you are the most important person who can help yourself. Hi, this is Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this message to follow up on more tips.
Now back to more of the Love Victory Show. Once again, here's Dr. Wish.
Welcome back. Welcome to the Love Victory Radio. This is Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, and I'm glad you're listening. If you've just stopped in to hear what's going on, we are talking about keeping and making smart New Year's resolutions. It's not too late. It's never too late to make a resolution, but it doesn't have to be on New Year's. In the first segment, I said, please get a buddy, get someone to do your resolutions with you. And also, don't keep your resolutions just for the New Year's. Make them on your birthday. Make them in springtime. Make them April Fool's Day. Make them at the beginning of every month. It doesn't matter, but revisit them. You can always start over. So now let's go back to some more secrets. All right, how many of you out there are procrastinators? Most everyone has procrastinated on something, and the reason we procrastinate is there's something that you feel is so emotionally difficult, so personally difficult. Everyone has their unique story, their unique buttons, that it's hard to get up and get going. So I'm going to give you some tips on how to break through that procrastination. Here's a tip that I read about years and years ago. It comes from the famous author Ernest Hemingway. He said when he was writing his chapters and the beginning segments of each one, he would make sure that he stopped writing at a point that would be easy to pick up on for the next day, so that you don't wake up in the morning thinking, oh gosh, I've got to clean the entire garage, or I have to do this report, or I have to meet with my aunt who is going to criticize me again. So here's what you can do. Make sure that you stop at a point that is easy to pick up on. And it doesn't matter what it's about. You know, New Year's resolutions or birthday resolutions can be big or small. It's your life. It's what's important to you. So let's say that your resolution is to lose weight. So stop at a point where you feel that in the morning you're going to go with your buddy, or you're going to go to the gym or walk around the block, or you're going to go over each other's house. Make it fun. Make it tied into something that also makes you feel good. If you're doing a report that is dreadful, and I certainly remember when I was in graduate school and, oh, writing all those papers and your dissertation. If anyone has some kind of paper product to work on, you know, something you have to do or prepare for a presentation, stop at a point where you feel comfortable so you can pick it up the next day. The second part of that is our brains love to complete tasks. So the fact that you haven't completed the entire task, that becomes motivation in itself to get going. So make a note of that. You might want to grab a pen or pencil, piece of paper somewhere. So we've got those things. We've got get a buddy, stop where it's easy. Now let's go to another variation of stop where it's easy. Break up your time limits into 10 to 15 minute segments. Don't expect yourself to last all that time. If you can, fine. Don't stop yourself. Once you get going, that's great. But break things up. Highly concentrate. I'm going to work on this project for 15 minutes or for 10 minutes. Then I'm going to get up. I'm going to take a 30-second break. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to run in place. I'm going to make some tea. Whatever it is, and then it's much easier to start up again. And if you are timing yourself well enough, you also can stop that 15-minute segment where it is easy to pick up again. These are all parts of planning. Very, very important. So let's go on to some other secret tips. Change your environment. Depression is often broken. Not deep clinical depression, but the blues are often broken when you change your environment. And what does that mean? That means get in the car and run an errand. That means jump in the shower. That means pick up the phone and call a friend. Email a friend. Change what you're doing. Get going on doing something. When it comes to weight loss, go shopping with a friend or a partner, a spouse, someone who is your cheerleader. So when you walk past that aisle that says cookies, candy, mints, snacks, popcorn, you don't go down those aisles. You are in charge of changing those environments. This is so important. They're not hard to do, but they're hard to remember to do. Because remember, these things aren't real pleasurable, right? No way. And finally, let's go into another large issue. Create new rewards of pleasure. For example, think that every time that you complete one of those 15-minute segments or a whole task or doing three drawers, that you put money in your little piggy bank where you can begin to stockpile money, put in a quarter, a dollar, 50 cents, a dime, pennies, just something that you're going to be building towards something that you want. So you're building in an expectation of a reward. You're giving yourself a hug and that pat on the back that we all need when the going gets tough. And I think you heard in there that I sneaked in there somewhere an idea of paying attention to breaking things down into tiny segments. So don't go through every kitchen drawer. Go through one at a time. In fact, you could probably do two drawers a day or one drawer every other day. Break it into tiny segments. It's so important that you don't overwhelm yourself. Don't make it harder on yourself. Why do that? So think about all the tips I've given. In our next segment, we're going to have our wonderful guest, Bonnie and Tom Liotta of Creating Champions for Life. They have unique and powerful parenting tips. So one of the resolutions you can make is to be a smarter parent. It's not enough to say better, but smarter. Hi, this is Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. We're going to break right now, and we'll be back with our guest. I hope you're enjoying listening to Love Victory Show. You don't have to worry, 'cause baby, there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Finding each other for so long, and the feeling that I feel for you is more than stronger. Take it.
Now back to more of the Love Victory Show. Once again, here's Dr. Wish.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, and I'm so happy you've joined us. This segment is one of my favorites because we have wonderful guests on today, helping us make good parenting New Year's resolutions. I am joined by Bonnie and Tom Liotta. These are the founders of CreatingChampionsForLife.com. And let me tell you what their mission statement is, because I think it will really speak to your heart. This is a worldwide humanitarian organization working to heal, unite, and empower families and communities by equipping them with the necessary tools to strengthen individual standards, ethics, and values, while together raising the next generation. Well, welcome, Bonnie and Tom Liotta.
Oh, hello, Elvie. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
It is an honor to have you here. And I want my listeners to know that I am one of their experts. Personal disclosure here, so you know how I know these wonderful people. And my area of expertise is intuition. But today we're going to be talking about New Year's parenting resolutions. So let's start with a very important question. Why is it so hard for parents to use their good parenting skills?
Well, I'd like to answer that one, being a parent myself. And I would say that the number one reason is confusing parenting advice.
Wow, that says so much. And, you know, for those of you who are parents out there, you go to the bookstore, there are scores of books on the bookshelf, and you don't know what to read. So please tell us what some of the best tips are and which ones not to use.
Well, I'm just going to start with which ones not to use.
Good.
And that would be anything to do with punishment, time out, telling kids no, don't, stop, can't, and all of the things that kids do not understand. They don't understand negative sentences. They only understand positive sentences, and that's where Thomas comes into play with his always say yes to kids formula.
So what about putting a child in the corner?
Well, that would be devaluing, very disempowering, and the truth is the kids aren't learning any life skills sitting in the corner. Kids only learn life skills when you actually work with them, teaching them what it is they need to know rather than punishing them and putting them in a corner.
So, listeners, I'm going to have that underscored again. I've watched so many television shows where someone's been in the corner and you say to yourself, that poor child is running in and out of the corner and the parent is sending them back and forth. What are they learning from that, Bonnie?
Yeah, they learn absolutely nothing. In fact, we interviewed our 9-year-old because for the first 7 years of his life, that's what I did. I used timeouts because of Super Nanny and, you know, we're being taught to do that. But when you ask him now that he's 9 or 10 years old and now that he's a champion, we say, what did you learn in timeouts? And he said, only that the timeout was almost over and that I could go back to watching TV or whatever. He didn't learn any life skills sitting in a timeout.
And that makes perfect sense. It's logical. And as a psychologist and licensed clinical social worker, I can say I absolutely endorse what you're saying. So what can parents do? What are good tips?
Yeah, I'd like to take that one, LB. And this is what's very important is the first thing is we have to understand our role as a parent. You see, my job is to teach my child life skills. So when they can actually leave me, they will have all the necessary resources and abilities to be successful at whatever they choose to do. And so a key thing is always find a way of what they can do so they can work towards their goal versus telling them what they can't do, and that's a great place to start.
So give me an example. Tell me a story about that. Make it real for our listeners.
Well, when I first met Tom, I was trying to be, you know, all show-offy and nice with my kids. And I remember going to Zach and saying, hey, Zach, it's bedtime. And I said it as nicely as I possibly could. And Zach power struggled, whined, oh, I don't want to go to bed. And Tom comes around the corner and he said, Zach, would you like to go to bed now with a story or in 10 minutes from now without a story? And he gave him a choice. And when Zach made the choice, Tom taught him how to read the clock, and at the exact right time, my then-diagnosed ADHD, oppositional defiant child, came running upstairs at the exact right time, gave us a hug, happily went to bed, and we didn't hear from him for the rest of the night, and that is when I said, oh my goodness, what the heck?
You empowered him. That's so important. Could you give our listeners an example about finicky eaters? How would you handle something like that without having to, you know, point your finger and yell at them or grab their plate away?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You want to approach it with asking questions versus dictating. So a parent would make some, let's say, peas or broccoli. Do you remember broccoli when you're a kid? I didn't even, like, want to taste it. I always knew it was, like, yuck. But when a parent says, eat this, or else, or whatever it might be, that's very dictating. You're going to get opposition. So what you do is you find parent-approved vegetables, and you ask your child, would you like to have peas, corn, or carrot for tonight, little Timmy? And then they go, I want corn. Now, see, the child didn't make a decision. The parent did. But you put it in a position that allowed them to have part of the decision in training, making a choice concept. They made the choice to eat it. They'll welcome it. The parent loves it because they did their job. Mission accomplished.
That's a wonderful technique, and that's what my husband and I did with our daughter. We pre-selected 3 items for a family vacation and allowed her to choose one of the 3. So you really are empowering children. This is so, so useful. Now, what about tailoring these things for each child?
Oh, that's the easy part. You can make this customized for any child, because if a parent took the time to listen to what was important to the child first, they'll tell you all the things that they like. See, in this example, the child told you that they like corn. Why would they say no to eating it when they asked for it? So you're lining yourself up with what they like, and your life skills training of eating good vegetables and healthy food, that's what creates a win-win. You're both on the same team, moving forward as a family.
I love this. And this gets rid of all those awful tug of wars and squabbles. And what about bedtime?
Yeah, again, it's all about finding what's important to your child. So many times as parents, we want them to go to bed on time because we want them to be healthy. Well, kids don't think that way. So when you say, okay, well, what does my child like to do tomorrow? Maybe it's time at the park. Maybe it's time on TV or video games or something like that. What's important to them? And then you set up the environment, teach your child a life skill. When you choose to go to bed cooperatively and happy and all by yourself and you stay in your bed, that means that we have the most amount of time at the park, or that means you get to watch the entire movie that you want to watch tomorrow. If you choose to get up three times and this and that, you're telling mommy that you're choosing to play just a little bit of time at the park tomorrow. So would you like to have a little time or a lot of time at the park tomorrow? Well, I'd like to have a lot of time. Awesome. So when you stay in bed and you do what I ask, that will earn you the most amount of time at the park tomorrow. So it's empowering the kids with what's important to them and not with what's important to you, the parent.
And it sounds so easy, so logical. It's how we all wanted to be treated as a child.
Yes.
We've got a little bit less than a minute left. Can you give us an important tip? Anything else that we didn't cover? We've got less than a minute. Any one thing that you want to really make sure that our listeners hear from you?
Here's one idea. When you see a child do something you don't like, you feel bad. When you tell them no, the child feels bad. When you tell the child, when you see a child ask what they like, they feel good. When you show them how they can earn it or accomplish it, you feel that you're doing your job as a parent to teach them, you feel good. It's about creating the right environment and always about the right approach will always create the outcome.
Work together
as a team, positive.
Thank you so much. This is Bonnie and Tom Liotta of Creating Champions for Life. We've got to go to a break, and when we come back, we'll pick up some other New Year's resolutions. Thank you for listening.
Now back to more of the Love Victory Show. Once again, here's Dr. Wish.
Hi, welcome back to the Love Victory Show. I'm Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. I hope you were listening to our guests, Bonnie and Tom Liotta of CreatingChampionsForLife.com. I know them personally. I only have guests on this show who I really believe have great integrity and really have heart, and they gave us wonderful parenting tips. And I'm one of their experts, so I need to give that as a disclaimer. And you probably heard them on the show calling me LB. Well, my name, Leslie Beth, is all one name. It was my mother's southern gift to me. So a lot of people can't say it all or remember it, so they call me LB. And if you want to remember me that way, that's fine too. It's more important that you remember my website, lovevictory.com, where you can get lots of other tips. And also, please make sure you go to creatingchampionsforlife.com. So let's go back to continuing our New Year's resolutions. Let's shift gears just a little bit and talk about some New Year's dating resolutions. My book, Smart Relationships, How Successful Women Can Find True Love, was based on 5 years. 5 years it took me to interview thousands of women to find out why they're smart about work but not about love. Because I did not want to give tips any longer based on just my clinical practice, because despite what you might think because of television and movies, not that many people see therapists. So I wanted to send out the word to the world. Tell me what goes on in your love life, what works for you, what doesn't, so that I knew that with my own dedication to integrity, that I give you tips that are trusted and tested. So here are some of the New Year's dating resolution goals that came out of my research from my book, Smart Relationships. And if these interest you, please make sure you go back to my website, lovevictory.com. You will see on the right, scroll down, and you will see my books. So let's go into the number one problem that jumped out at me from my research. I did not create these findings. They came to me from the research and the thousands of women who talked to me. Can you guess what the number one dating mistake is? A mistake that women make, and men do too. Think about that for a second. Think about what you do when you're having dating and love problems. Okay, you ready? After a very bad relationship breakup, it could be a divorce, moving out, anything that ended badly and broke your heart, what so many of the women did in my study was they swore off love. And their partners, their men, said the same thing. I'm done. I mean, I thought this was the one, the person, and I'm out of here. I'm just going to go back to, you know, casual dating and all the other things involved in that. And forget about love. If it happens, it happens, and I'm just not looking for it. In fact, I'm going to hang out with my friends, my buddies. No, that is not a smart thing to do. Then people ask me, oh, well, aren't you supposed to take time out from a bad breakup? Well, yes, you are. You don't want to go from the frying pan to the fire. But wait a second. Your ability to not make the same mistake again, your ability to know what happened to you and what went on in your life is not solely based or even primarily based on time. It's what you did with that time. Did you use that time to find out, why did I connect with this person when I did in my life? What's going on in my life at the time that I connected with this person? Did I lose my job? Were my finances in trouble? Am I getting over a serious illness or a family member did? Did I lose someone close to me in my life? These are triggers that can propel you to jump into a relationship that maybe if your need to attach and get comfort weren't so high, maybe you wouldn't have connected with them. A lot of us have made that mistake, and it's human. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It's a human mistake. So that's the first thing you should ask yourself for your New Year's resolution. I am going to understand what was going on in my life when I started to date and fall in love with a particular person. Secondly, after the breakup, and you've given yourself some time to understand, what did I learn about myself? What did I learn what I need emotionally? Now, this is where the emotional bravery part kicks in. You know, that's my motto. Do you have the emotional bravery to be happy? It takes an awful lot of emotional bravery to withstand looking at yourself, self-reckoning, being honest. But if you do that, then you're ready to move on. If you don't move on and leave yourself with your broken heart and swearing off love, you cheat yourself out of the opportunity to read people. You take yourself out of the ring, right? Stay in the game. You've got to learn cues, how to read people better, take hints from them, analyze them, and in our next radio show, we'll talk more about how to read people. But these are your beginning tips. Get back out there. Start again. And my other important tips are that I learned from the women in my research and the men. Please stop having sex so quickly. And I'm not talking about ethics or religion or morals or rules. I'm talking about what happens in your brain. When you have sex with someone, your endorphins kick in, all your brain's hormones kick in, your oxytocin, which is the hormone that creates the bond between a mother and a child, a mother and baby. So why would you want to end up feeling close to someone you hardly know? Things are upside down right now in our culture. It used to be the most difficult thing was to agree to have sex with someone. There's a stranger. Do I really want to literally expose myself physically and emotionally to someone? Because that was difficult. That was part of our culture. Now, the most difficult thing is being known, because then you could set yourself up for rejection. So get emotionally brave, learn about yourself, take your time, because when you have sex too soon, you've given up control of you and your brain and your behavior. And why would you volunteer to do that? So I hope these New Year's resolution tips have been helpful. It's been a pleasure to have you on this show, and I hope you'll tune in next time. We'll be talking about how to read people. So thank you so much, and I want to say thank you to our wonderful guests, Bonnie and Tom Liotta, for being here with us. Remember, their website is Love Victory. Excuse me, their website is creatingchampionsforlife.com. You have lots and lots of tips, and you'll get lots of pointers on all aspects of relationships, grief, how to raise children, very important. So thank you for listening to the Love Victory Show, and thank yourself for being brave enough to learn. And you can go to lovevictory.com and learn more about me. I'm Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. I appreciate your listening. And please check on my website in the upper tab. It says Intuition Stories. My next book, you could be a featured writer in my next book. I'm collecting stories on people who listened or did not listen to their intuition. So if you have a story and you want to help other people, please go to lovevictory.com. Sign up at the top that says Intuition Stories. I would love for you to be a featured writer. Thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to the Love Victory Show with Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. For more information, simply go to lovevictory.com.